Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today on Mesechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings three braises that seem to contradict each other on the topic of untying the knots of shoes. The first one states that one is chayv achatas, the second one states that he's pater al aser, and the third states that it's mutter to do so. The Gemara answers that the three braises are referring to different cases. The first case was referring to the straps of shoemakers. Rashi explains that when making the shoemaker inserts a strap into the shoe and makes a permanent knot in order to prevent it from coming out. Since the knot is permanent, he's liable on a deraisa level, and is chayv achatas. The second case was referring to knots made by the rabbanan. Now, the rabbis didn't tie their shoes tightly in order that they could easily slip them on and off without needing to tie and untie them. But they weren't permanent knots because during the muddy season, the rabbis would untie them and then tie them again tightly so that they wouldn't be pulled off in the mud. Therefore, for untying these types of knots, which aren't permanent but are similar to permanent knots, one is pater al aser. And the third case was referring to the residents of Machoza who were fastidious in their dress and tied their shoes tightly for a snug fit and untied them daily. So since the knots weren't permanent at all, they were permitted to make. Point number two, the Gemara notes a seeming contradiction in two cases involving Amoraim whose sandal straps broke, causing the sandals to come off. Rabbi Yirmi was told by Rabbi Abo to take a moist reed that is fit for animal food and thereby not muksa and put it into the sandal in place of the strap. Abaya was told by Rav Yosef to not even touch the sandal since it has the status of muksa. The Gemara clarifies that the incident involving Rabbi Yirmiyah took place in a karmelis that wasn't guarded. Therefore, Rabbi Abo was lenient in regards to muksa and permitted him to move the shoe and put it on. In Abaya's case, however, the sandal came off in a safe and guarded area. Therefore, Rav Yosef didn't permit him to handle it. Point number three, Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rava Bar Zimona regarding Talmid Chachamim, Im Rishonim Bnei Malachim, Anu Bnei Anashim. If the earlier ones of previous generations were sons of angels, we're the sons of men. Im Rishon Bnei Anashim, Anu Kachamorim. And if the earlier ones were sons of men, we're like donkeys. Lo Kachamoro Shel Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa Shel Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, El Kashar Chamorim. And not like the donkey Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa and that of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, but rather like other donkeys. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara brings three braises that seem to contradict each other on the topic of untying the knots of shoes. The first one states that one is chayv achatas, the second one states that he's pater al aser, and the third states that he is mutter to do so. The Gemara answers that the three braises are referring to different cases. The first case was referring to the straps of shoemakers. Rashi explains that when making the shoe, the shoemaker inserts a strap into the shoe and makes a permanent knot in order to prevent it from coming out. Since the knot is permanent, he's liable on a deraisa level, as chayv achatas. The second case was referring to knots made by the rabbanan. The rabbis did not tie their shoes tightly in order they could easily slip them on and off without needing to tie and untie them. But they weren't permanent knots because during the muddy season, the rabbis would untie them and then tie them again tightly so they would not be pulled off in the mud. Therefore, for untying these types of knots, which are not permanent but are similar to permanent knots, one is pater al aser. And the third case was referring to the residents of Machoza who were fastidious in their dress and tied their shoes tightly for a snug fit and untied them daily. Since the knots were not permanent, they were permitted to make. Point number two, the Gemara notes a seeming contradiction in two cases involving a Amoraim whose sandal straps broke, causing the sandals to come off. Rabbi Yirmiyah was told by Rabbi Abo to take a moist reed that is fit for animal food, and thereby not muksa, and put it into the sandal in place of the strap. Abai was told by Rabbi Yosef to not even touch the sandal since it has the status of muksa. So the Gemara clarifies that the incident involving Rabbi Yirmiyah took place in a karmelis that wasn't guarded. Therefore, Rabbi Abo was lenient in regards to muksa and permitted him to move the shoe and put it on. In Abai's case, however, the sandal came off in a safe and guarded area. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef didn't permit him to handle it. And point number three, Rabbi Yezer said in the name of Rava Bar Zimona regarding Talmid Chachamim, Im Rishonim Bnei Malachim, Anu Bnei Anashim. If the earlier ones of previous generations were sons of angels, we're sons of men. Im Rishon Bnei Anashim, Anu Kachamorim, and if the earlier ones were sons of men, Lo Kachamoro Shel Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, Shel Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, El Kashar Chamorim, and not like the donkey Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa and that of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, but rather like other donkeys. All right, so now we go to Simcha Kufiyot Beis, and the number one suggestion was Rubik's Cube. We also had Kiev, the Sephardi food kibbeh came up a lot, and kebabs, cable car, cable TV, kibbutz, kibbutznik, ice cubes, and we had some backwards simony like bikes, beaks, the big pen. But I'm going to go with Rubik's Cube, and Charlie Myers from Scottsdale, Arizona suggested a Rubik's Cube master. So if you said Rubik's Cube, you're a winner. Thank you, Charlie, for a Rubik's Cube master. That's going to be our simon for Kuf Yud Beis. So here goes. The Rubik's Cube master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps made everybody competed with feel like a donkey. Once again, in slow motion, the Rubik's Cube Master. Rubik's Cube Master, that must mean Ron Duff, Kofiud Beis. The Rubik's Cube Master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three braces that seem to contradict each other on the topic of untying the knots of shoes. The first one states that one is chai v'chatas, the second one states that he's patal v'asra, and the third states that it's mutu to do so. The Gemara answers that the three braces are referring to different cases. The first case was referring to the straps of shoemakers, and Rashi explains that when making the shoe, the shoemaker inserts a strap into the shoe and makes a permanent knot in order to prevent it from coming out. Since the knot is permanent, he's liable on a deraisa level and is chai v'chatas. The second case was referring to knots made by the Rabbanim. The rabbis didn't tie their shoes tightly in order that they could easily sit them on and off without needing to tie and untie them. They weren't permanent knots because during the muddy season, the rabbis would untie them and then tie them again tightly so they would not be pulled off in the mud. Therefore, for untying these types of knots, which are not permanent but are similar to permanent knots, one is pater ava aser. The third case was referring to the residents of Machoz who were fastidious in their dress and tied their shoes tightly for a snug fit and untied them daily. So since the knots were not permanent, they were permitted to make. So the Rubik's Cube Master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, which reminds us, the Gemara notes a seeming contradiction in two cases involving a Amoraim whose sandal straps broke, causing the sandals to come off. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was told by Rabbi Abo to take a moist reed that is fit for animal food and thereby la muksa, and put it into the sandal in place of the strap. Abai was told by Rav Yosef to not even touch the sandal since it had the status of muksa. So the Gemara clarifies that the incident involving Rabbi Yirmiyahu took place in a karmus that wasn't guarded. Therefore, Rabbi Abo was lenient in regards to muksa and permitted him to move the shoe and put it on. In Abai's case, however, the sandal came off in a safe and guarded area. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef did not permit him to handle it. So the Rubik's Cube Master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, made everybody competed with feel like a donkey. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera said the name of Rabbi Bar Zimona regarding Talmid Chachamim. Im Rishonim b'nei Malachim anu b'nei Anashim. If the early ones of previous generations were sons of angels, we are sons of men. V'im Rishonim b'nei Anashim anu kechamorim. And if the early ones were sons of men, we are like donkeys. V'kol chamor shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa v'shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair el kashar chamorim. And not like the donkey of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and that of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, but rather like other donkeys. So once again, the Rubik's Cube Master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, made everybody competed with feel like a donkey. All right, now it's time for Farba Ba'chazara. Taf Kuvches. So the symbol for Kuvches is a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket. Pickpocket, that must mean we're on Taf Kuvches. The pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the Tulemacher's jacket, which reminds us, Rabuna said that one may write to fill in on the hide of a kosher bird. Rav Yosef asks, what's the novelty of this ruling? It can't be to teach you that birds have a hide, as we already know that based on a Mishnah earlier that teaches that one who bruises beasts and birds is chayev. So Abai said to Rav Yosef, Rav Huna is teaching a great deal. For we would have thought the hide of a kosher bird is not valid for tefillin, since a bird's hide is full of holes. And Rashi explains that the hide is holes, since it's perforated by its feathers. Abai explains that the holes are not problematic, because as they say in Eretz Yisrael, a hole which ink passes over and doesn't sink into is not considered a hole to render the parchment unfit to be used for tefillin. So the pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the tefillinmacher's jacket while he was distracted at the Sudas Bris, which reminds us, when Rav arrived in Bavel, Shmuel told Karna to test Rav. Karna asked Rav three questions, the third one being, where is it derived that Bris Mila is performed on that place, referring to the male member? Rav responded that it's learned from Gezer Shav from the Parsha of Orel, where it states, Orel so its blockage. Just as Orel refers to something that produces fruit, so too Bris Mila, which is the word Orel so, refers to something that produces fruit. The Gemara notes that there's an identical Malchokas among the time Rav Oshia brings this Gezer Shava, whereas Rabbi Nassan states the Gezer Shava is not necessary. According to Rabbi Nassan, the proof comes from the Pasuk, Va'Orel Zachar Asher Yimolas Borasar Orel so, a blocked male, the flesh of his blockage, is not circumcised. This teaches that circumcision is performed on the place of the body where the difference between the male gender and the female gender are recognizable. So the pickpocket stole the chicken skin from the Tulemacher's jacket while he was distracted at the Sudas Bris, dipping his bread in salt water. Which reminds us, the next mission of the Perek deals with the Rabbanim making salt water on Shabbos. The Tanakhama says that one may not prepare brine, heal me, but one may prepare salt water for dipping bread or adding to cooked food, meaning one may make a small amount. So Rabbi Yossi challenges the Tanakhama, since brine should have the same halacha regardless of the quantity. He therefore states that making salt water is permissible if one adds oil to the water or to the salt before he mixes the water and salt together. And Rashi explains that mixing the oil in first weakens the mixture of salt and water, even though it also weakens the mixture if it's poured in afterwards. Doing so is forbidden, because putting the salt and water in first resembles the melacha of ma'abed, of tanning. Daf Kuvtes. So the symbol for Kuvtes is Hatsala, like with a medical kit, so here goes. When Hatsala, that means we're on Daf Kuvtes with our medical kit. So when Hatsala got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning, which reminds us, a brice at the bottom of Kuvtes on the base listed parts of the body, such as the eyes, nose, and ears, that should not be touched in the morning before washing one's hands, because a spirit called Bas Melech rests on the hands and causes harm. In a brice on this stuff, Rabbi Nassan said, Bashorn hizo, umakpedes ad shiyuchas yadav gimel pamim. This spirit is a free agent and insists on remaining until one washes his hands three times. Rabbeinu Hananel explains that it commands respect among the other ruchos, the other spirits, like a free man among people. So when Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning, and subsequently had a donkey step on top of their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a teaching from Mar Ukva, who said that one who injured his hand or foot should not hesitate to reduce his swelling with wine on Shabbos, because wine is not an effective treatment. The Gemara then relates that Rav Hillel told Rav Ashi that he learned in the Academy of Kahana that it is forbidden to use vinegar because it is an effective treatment. Subsequently, Ravina once visited Rav Ashi in his home and saw that a donkey had stepped on Rav Ashi's foot and that Rav Ashi was using vinegar to reduce its swelling. When Rav Ashi asked Rav Ashi if he doesn't agree with Rav Hillel that using vinegar is prohibited, Rav Ashi responded that gav hayad v'gav haregel sha'ani, a wound on the back of the hand or on top of the foot is different, meaning it's more dangerous and can be life-threatening. Rashi explains, therefore one can be Machal Shabbos in this case. So when Hatzal got a call from someone who didn't wash their hands three times in the morning and subsequently had a donkey step on their foot, the team took out some vinegar from their kit and told them to bathe in the Yom HaGadol. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings conflicting brises, with one stating that it's permitted to bathe in the Yom HaGadol on Shabbos for therapeutic reasons, and the other stating that it's forbidden to do so. After two possible resolutions are rejected, the Gemara answers that the brice that permits bathing in the Yom HaGadol was referring to its fine waters, its good waters. Rashi explains that people would wash in those waters even during the week, not for therapeutic reasons. Therefore, it wouldn't be recognizable that one is doing so for a cure. The brice that prohibits bathing in the Yom HaGadol was referring to its foul parts, where it would be clear to others that one's intent is for healing purposes and not merely for bathing. Daf Kuf Yud. So the symbol Kuf Yud is a gold key ceremony. So here goes. When the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, that means Ron Daf Kuf Yud. When the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey, which reminds the Gemara in Kuftes Amud Beis taught that one bitten by a snake should obtain an embryo of a white donkey, tear it open, and place it on the bite. This works provided that the donkey was not a trefa. On this daf, an incident is brought of a Jewish officer of the king that was bitten by a snake, and 13 white donkeys were brought to heal him, but they were all found to be trefos. There was a 14th donkey that they found, and while they're bringing it to him, it was eaten by a lion. Abai suggests that perhaps a snake of the rabbis bit him, for which there's no cure. As it says in the pasuk, the poets, Gadar Yishkenu Nachash, and he who breaches the fence, the words of the sages, will be bitten by a snake, meaning that maybe he transgressed something that the sages said, and due to that, he did not merit to find a cure. Abai was told that, in fact, this officer violated Rav Yitzchak Bar Bizna's decree, which forbade for 1 year after the death of Rav, bringing myrtle branches and palm branches together with bells to weddings which bring joy to the chasen and kala. So when the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey, and all they could find was a tired out snake in the sand, which reminds us the Gemara presents several solutions to situations when a man or woman is threatened by a snake. If one, for example, is being pursued by a snake, one should run in sand. And Rashi explains that snakes cannot move swiftly in sand, and therefore it will eventually turn back. So when the mayor got bitten by the snake at the gold key ceremony, everybody rushed around looking for a white donkey, and all they could find was a tired out snake in the sand and a depressed rooster that no longer had a crest. Which reminds us, after bringing numerous remedies for Azava, the Gemara lists several cures for one suffering from jaundice. It questions the validity of a certain elixir for jaundice since it will result in sterility, and the Torah explicitly forbids castration. The Gemara answers that the prohibition only applies when one intends to damage the reproductive organs directly. In drinking the elixir, the sterilization occurs indirectly. To support this assertion, the Gemara brings a teaching from Yochanan that one who wants to castrate a rooster should remove its crest and it becomes castrated on its own accord. But the Gemara deflects this proof based on Rav Ashi, who taught that a rooster's pride is its crest. And Rashi explains that when the crest is removed, the rooster mourns its loss and refrains from copulation, but is actually not castrated. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. So the term Kuf Yud Aleph is a kayaker. So here goes. The kayaker. Kayaker, that means run Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The kayaker with tooth pain got distracted sipping vinegar, which reminds us. The Mishnah states that one who has tooth pain may not sip vinegar through them because one may not heal himself on Shabbos, but he may dip food into vinegar in his usual manner, even though he may become cured as a result. Rav Acha bar Papa asks a contradiction, that the Mishnah implies that vinegar is good for the teeth, whereas the Pasuk states, Kachomitz lishinayim ka'ashon einayim, like vinegar is to the teeth and like smoke is to the eyes. This implies that vinegar is not good for the teeth. So the Gemara gives two answers. Either the Pasuk is referring to juice of unripe grapes, which is unhealthy, whereas the Mishnah is referring to vinegar, or both the Pasuk and the Mishnah are referring to vinegar, and the Mishnah is referring to where there is a wound, and the Pasuk is referring to where there is no wound. So the kayaker with tooth pain who got distracted sipping vinegar and smearing rose oil on his loins, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that one feeling pain in his loins may smear it with oil because people often do so, even not for healing purposes. However, one may not use rose oil, and princes, though, may smear with rose oil since they use it during the week. Rabbi Shimon argues and says, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim hem, all Yisrael princes, meaning that it is mutter for anyone to smear rose oil. Rashi explains that according to the Tanna Kamma, rose oil is too expensive for most people to be used merely for anointing. Therefore, when they do use it, it's clear they're doing so for the purpose of healing. Rabbi Shimon, however, permits its use because halacha does not distinguish between people based on economic status, permitting something to some and forbidding it to others. So the kayaker with tooth pain who got distracted, sipping vinegar and smearing rose oil on his loins, accidentally went over Niagara Falls and was pulled out of the river by a rope tied in a tightly tied bow. Which reminds us, the first Mishnah of the 15th Perek states that the knots which one is liable for tying on Shabbos are the camel driver's knots, the kesher gemalim, and the sailor's knot, the kesher sapanim. The Gemara clarifies that these are permanent knots. Rav Meir disagrees and says that one is not liable for any knot that one can untie with one hand. Rav Achanavoy, the brother of Mar Acha, asks what Rav Meir holds in terms of a bow which is tightly made. Is Rav Meir's reason to allow a knot which one can untie with one hand only require that one can untie the knot with one hand, in which case one is permitted to tie a tightly made bow, or is his reason because a knot that can be untied with one hand is clearly not tight, but one would be chayav for tying a bow tightly? And the Gemara leaves it as a teku. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we learn about the 3 times when one is completely putter? That's on daf Kuf Zayin. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that one cannot sip vinegar for sore teeth? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 3, which daf do we discuss bathing in the Yam HaGadol for refuah purposes? That's on daf Kuf Tes. Great. Number 4, which daf do we discuss 2 cases of broken sandal straps and what to do? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Great. Number 5, which daf do we learn the source for bris milah on the male member? That's on daf Kuf Ches. Good. Number 6, which daf do we have a machlokas regarding whether one can use rose oil on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn that untying the knots of the rabbanan shoes that they wore won't be putter but it's usher? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 8, which daf do we learn about using vinegar to heal the hand or foot? That's on daf Kuf Tes. Good. Number 9, which daf do we have a question regarding what Rabbi Meir held regarding untying a tightly tied bow? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. And final question number 10, which daf do we discuss an elixir for jaundice that caused sterility? That's on daf Kuf Yud. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we discuss Hatavas Chalom? That's on daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss the 4 instances when one would bench Gomel? That's on daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 3, which daf do we discuss 6 things that are unbecoming to a Talmud Chacham? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. Plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldberg from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.